small talk about the old days and how she missed his great jokes, Trish had gotten to her point. She was trying to unmask a hidden IP address, probably that of a secure server in the DC area. The server contained a small text document, and she wanted access to it, or at the very least, some information about whose document it was. Right guy, wrong timing, he had told her. Trish then showered him with her finest geek flattery, most of which was true, and before Zubianis knew it, he was typing a strange-looking IP address into his laptop. Zubianis took one look at the number and immediately felt uneasy. Trish, this IP has a funky format. It's written in a protocol that isn't even publicly available yet. It's probably GovIntel or military.
Military? Trish laughed. Believe me, I just pulled a redacted document off this server and it was not military.
Zubianis pulled up his terminal window and tried a traceroute.
You said your traceroute died?
Yeah, twice, same hop.
Mine too.
He pulled up a diagnostic probe and launched it.
And what's so interesting about this IP?
I ran a delegator that tapped a search engine at this IP and pulled a redacted document. I need to see the rest of the document. I'm happy to pay them for it, but I can't figure out who owns the IP or how to access it.
Zubianis frowned at his screen.
Are you sure about this?
I'm running a diagnostic and this firewall coding looks pretty serious.
That's why you get the big bucks.
Zubianis considered it. They'd offered him a fortune for a job this easy.
One question, Trish. Why are you so hot on this?
Trish paused.
I'm doing a favor for a friend.
Must be a special friend.
She is.
Zubianis chuckled and held his tongue.
I knew it.
Look, Trish said, sounding impatient. Are you good enough to unmask this IP? Yes or no?
Yes, I'm good enough, and yes, I know you're playing me like a fiddle.
How long will it take you?
Not long, he said, typing as he spoke. I should be able to get into a machine on their network within 10 minutes or so. Once I'm in and know what I'm looking at, I'll call you back.
I appreciate it. So are you doing well?
Now she asks.
Trish, for God's sake, you called me on the night of a playoff game and now you want to chat?
Do you want me to hack this IP or not?
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I'll be waiting for your call.
15 minutes.
Zubianis hung up, grabbed his bowl of pirate's booty, and unmuted the game. Women. Chapter 28.
Where are they taking me?
As Langdon hurried with Anderson and Sato into the depths of the capital, he felt his heart rate increasing with each downward step. They had begun their journey through the west portico of the rotunda, descending a marble staircase and then doubling back through a wide doorway into the famous chamber directly beneath the rotunda floor. The Capitol Crypt. The air was heavier here, and Langdon was already feeling claustrophobic. The crypt's low ceiling and soft uplighting accentuated the robust girth of the 40 Doric columns required to support the vast stone floor directly overhead.
Relax, Robert.
This way,
Anderson said, moving quickly as he angled to the left across the wide circular space. Thankfully, this particular crypt contained no bodies. Instead, it contained several statues, a model of the Capitol, and a low storage area for the wooden catafalque on which coffins were laid for state funerals. The entourage hurried through, without even a glance at the four-pointed marble compass in the center of the floor, where the eternal flame had once burned. Anderson seemed to be in a hurry, and Sato once again had her head buried in her BlackBerry. Cellular service, Langdon had heard, was boosted and broadcast to all corners of the Capitol building to support the hundreds of government phone calls that took place here every day. After diagonally crossing the crypt, the group entered a dimly lit foyer and began winding through a convoluted series of hallways and dead ends. The warren of passages contained numbered doorways, each of which bore an identification number. Langdon read the doors as they snaked their way around. S-154, S-153, S-152. He had no idea what lay behind these doors, but at least one thing now seemed clear: the meaning of the tattoo on Peter Solomon's palm. SBB-13 appeared to be a numbered doorway somewhere in the bowels of the U.S. Capitol building.
What are all these doorways? Langdon asked, clutching his day bag tightly to his ribs and wondering what Solomon's tiny package could possibly have to do with a door marked SBB-13.
Offices and storage,
Anderson said. Private offices and storage, he added, glancing back at Sato. Sato did not even glance up from her BlackBerry. They look tiny, Langdon said.
Glorified closets, most of them. But they're still some of the most sought-after real estate in D.C. This is the heart of the original Capitol, and the old Senate chamber is two stories above us.
And SBB 13? Langdon asked. Whose office is that?
Nobody's. The SBB is a private storage area, and I must say I'm puzzled how—
Chief Anderson,
Sato interrupted, without looking up from her BlackBerry.
Just take us there, please.
Anderson clenched his jaw and guided them on in silence through what was now feeling like a hybrid self-storage facility and epic labyrinth. On almost every wall, directional signs pointed back and forth, apparently attempting to locate specific office blocks in this network of hallways. S-142 to S-152, ST-1 to ST-70, H-1 to H-166, and HT-1 to HT-67. Langdon doubted he could ever find his way out of here alone. This place is a maze. From all he could gather, office numbers began with either an S or an H, depending on whether they were on the Senate side of the building or the House side. Areas designated ST and HT were apparently on a level that Anderson called terrace level. Still no signs for SBB. Finally, they arrived at a heavy steel security door with a keycard entry box. SB level. Langdon sensed they were getting closer. Anderson reached for his keycard but hesitated, looking uncomfortable with Sato's demands.
Chief,
Sato prompted,
we don't have all night.
Anderson reluctantly inserted his keycard. The steel door released. He pushed it open and they stepped through into the foyer beyond. The heavy door clicked shut behind them. Langdon wasn't sure what he had hoped to see in this foyer, but the sight in front of him was definitely not it. He was staring at a descending stairway. Down again? He said, stopping short. There's a level under the crypt?
Yes, Anderson said. SB stands for Senate Basement.
Langdon groaned. Terrific.
Chapter 29. The headlights winding up the SMSC's wooded access road were the first the guard had seen in the last hour. Dutifully, he turned down the volume on his portable TV set and stashed his snacks beneath the counter. Lousy timing. The Redskins were completing their opening drive, and he didn't want to miss it. As the car drew closer, the guard checked the name on the notepad in front of him.